Welcome to Our Redeemers Lutheran Church in Helena, Montana. We are a member church of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. Today is April 7th, 2019, and it's the fifth Sunday of Lent. We are in John chapter 12 today, verses 1 through 8. We're going to hear from Pastor Arnie Berglund. He will give us the gospel reading, followed by a sermon.
6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, who he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of them at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume, but Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You have the poor with you always, but you do not always have me." The Gospel of the Lord. Beloved of God, the Lord has done great things for us. Abundant grace, mercy, and peace is yours in Christ our Lord. I am doing a new thing. Scripture tells us as much. Not just once, but many times. Scripture tells us God is doing a new thing. Here at the end of Lent, we are told to prepare ourselves for God's new thing. We're told that it will not be like a former day. Prepare yourselves for something you have not imagined is about to happen. That day is coming, and it will not be like any former day. God is doing a new thing. One of the most powerful words in advertising is this word, new. Something that is new promises that it won't have the problems of the old. And who doesn't want something better? The word new is often coupled with the word improved. New and improved. Something can be new without being improved. Something can be improved without being new. A thing can also be new and improved. Last September, Apple released the iPhone XS. It was the 12th generation of something new that Apple had to offer. Now, you can get this phone for something like $1,500. Like most technology, it becomes obsolete the minute you turn it on. By the way, the newest version, 13th edition, is not so far off. So you'll have the opportunity, once again, to get something new. Well, it's easy for us to get cynical about it when we hear that promise of something new. But today we're asked to hear that with the ears of faith. We come to hear the promise of God that a new day will come fresh and dazzling, as bright as sunshine after a lifetime of drizzle and gloom. God is bringing us out of the isolation created by our brokenness and sin into a communion of the forgiven and restored. No matter how many times we experience it, no matter how many times we celebrate the repentance and the Eucharist and Easter, the forgiveness, the forgiving embrace of God always comes to us as a new day, unexpected, awesome in its revelation of ourselves and of others as beloved children of God. Today, our gospel lesson places us at a dinner table with Jesus and his friends. I like to watch CBS Saturday morning when I'm able, and every Saturday they bring on a famous chef to prepare a meal, and then they sit down with that chef and ask him or her to share about that meal. And when they've finished, They always ask the chef, if you could have a meal with anyone in history, who would that be? Can you imagine sitting at a table with Mary and Martha and Lazarus and Jesus and the disciples? What a meal that might be. You might find yourself sitting right next to Mary. And not just any Mary, this is the sister of Lazarus, the man who Jesus only recently raised from the dead after he had been lying in the tomb for 3 days. Those who were making plans against Jesus were at his heels, but here they were at a dinner table, a celebration. The days ahead would not be good. But on that occasion, on that evening, there in that dining room of the home of Lazarus, they find themselves celebrating. And in the midst of that meal, Mary sits on the floor and she brings out a pound of very costly perfume and she anoints Jesus' feet. Not something you would do at just any meal or for just any guest. Mary knows exactly who he is and the kind of honor that he is due. He deserves an act of extravagant holiness, a sweet moment of stillness amidst a gathering storm. Today, 6 days before the Passover, Mary finds herself pouring out a lavish amount of nard, anointing Jesus' feet, wiping them with her hair. And by that extravagant act, Mary introduces Jesus to anyone who still does not know who he is. She anoints him beforehand for burial because he is or will be the Lamb slain, the crucified Messiah. Carefully and reverently, she cleanses his feet because he is the Son of Man who came not to be served, but to serve. She lovingly bathes his feet because after the resurrection, the opportunity to offer such an honor, such comfort and affection to the earthly Jesus will be a thing of the past. By her actions, Mary has said, I would like to introduce Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, the suffering Son of Man, the Son of God, who for a little while gives us the opportunity to sit at his feet, to gather at table. A number of years ago, I was called to the home of another Mary, retired, living with her husband of some 50 years. Mary asked me to come and have a conversation. When I arrived at their home, I was asked to sit at the kitchen table with them, and the usual coffee and cookies were brought out. And once the coffee was poured, Mary cleared her throat, and she said, I have been on dialysis for 3 times a week for 17 years, and I've decided it's time to quit. Now, this means that I will have 2 to 3 weeks before I die. Pastor, I want to have church every day. Do you think that would be possible? So every day I would show up at their house. On the weekends, her 2 children would join us. We would share scripture and we would sing a hymn. We'd gather around the table of the Lord together and share that supper. At least as long as she was able, we would be at the kitchen table having church together. The last week or so, she was unable to get out of bed, but we continued. She passed away a little over 3 weeks after our first meeting. Her husband, Bob, who had been her caretaker for all those years, was at her side. And each day that I went to that home, I witnessed a deep love and affection that 50 years can bring to a couple. When I got the news of her passing, I went to their home. The door was ajar. I walked into the bedroom and there was Bob holding Mary's hand, gently holding Mary's hand. he was well prepared for her passing. They had spoken of it at great length. But he was going to hold her hand until they came to remove the body. We had spent days together preparing Mary and Bob for this moment. And now the moment had come. And it was as holy a moment as in the departing as it was at her birth. I thought of that this week as this gospel lesson puts us at the table with the disciples and Mary and Jesus. It was the practice and the time to anoint the body before burial. Mary may have been the only disciple in the room who truly comprehended what was to come in the coming days. And while one would be hard-pressed, I think, to say that Mary was comfortable with that certainty that Jesus would die, clearly she is foreshadowing what custom would soon entail anyway. And more than that, of course, Jesus speaks out loud this truth that Mary had bought the perfume for this purpose, to anoint him on the day of his burial. Maybe it was simply all she had and all she could do. And so she did, foreshadowing the posture Jesus would take on with his disciples a few days later as he would wash their feet. When questioned about Mary's anointing and its extravagance and how it might have been used to serve the poor, Jesus said, "You will have the poor with you always." It's actually a frequent message that is found in scriptures and a reminder that we need always to see to the need of the poor, to the need of others, that that is what faithful people do. In her anointing, that is what Mary was doing, caring not only for her Savior, but also her friend. And I wonder what that would look like for you and I today. It seems to me that you and I are called to honor one another in similar fashion, just as Mary did. And of course, certainly as Jesus did, we are called to care for our neighbor in need, the neighbor and the poor who will be with us always. We're called to be there for them. I do wonder what it would look like if we all approached the places where life meets death with a deeper sense of wonder and holiness. I wonder if we could, if we would, only hold one another's hand, if this might bring a greater gentleness to our life together. Indeed, what amazing gifts might be ours if we could kneel and honor the humanity of one another. I imagine if we might start to see such practice that we would understand the holy moments that we have before us. How might the world be changed if we cared for one another as Mary cared for Jesus? Today, our gospel lesson places us at a dinner table with Jesus and his friends. And in a few moments, we will gather at the table with one another, remembering and celebrating that God is doing something new. Today, God is doing something new and fresh, bringing us out of the isolation created by our brokenness and sin into the communion of the forgiven, the family of the faithful. And in newness, in that new moment, in that holy moment, we can live our lives caring about and for our neighbor and sharing this story of God's love in Jesus Christ. May it be so. Amen.